Wow, don't you love church? That was fun. You know, when we're ministering down here in the front, you know, especially if you're visiting, you might look on and go, what are they doing to them down there? And it's an interesting dynamic. You know, we've seen a lot of people give their lives to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, you have a lot of stuff in your life. The Bible calls sin. And the truth is, all our sin is paid for at the cross by Jesus Christ. That's what happens when we come to him. But there is this sanctifying process that we start as we walk with Jesus. And when you've got a dirty coffee cup at home, and you know there's a couple of ways of getting it clean. You can scrub it like mad and get a scouring thing and try and get all that coffee off the cup, or you can just let the water flow. And as the water fills the cup starts to overflow, and all the dirt and the old coffee starts to wash out. And you know, when we're in the presence of God and he just comes upon us and starts to flow upon us, in us, through us, that's part of what he's doing. He's filling us with his goodness, and everything else washes out. Everything, it's like an overflowing that is happening. And part of the deal of being a Christian is living in that overflow. Is living in the Spirit that has come and made his life in us and is overflowing in our life. And so when people come forward for healing and ministry like we just did, what he's doing is he's filling you up with his goodness, and everything else is overflowing out. And he's going to keep doing that until he presents you pure and spotless before the Father. That's going to be a continual journey throughout your life of him just filling you and filling you so that you're purified and clean. And that's part of what he was doing this morning and what he's going to continue doing. That bit's free. Couple of things. The song we were just singing in worship, Holy Spirit, not the very last one, the one before, has been a song that the guys have been writing over the last few years, and it is finally released. So you can get it. So, yes, there is. Oh, look at that. There's a QR code. So just like giving, this is a whole new world to me. If you put your phone on that and zoom in, it'll take you to a site and you can get the song on Apple Music, Spotify. They're the only ways I know you can do it, but you'll know lots of other ways that you can get it. And just enjoy it. Enjoy his presence. Worship in the week to it. It's been a long time coming. I think the other song, some of you have asked about Angels, that's due out soon. And I'm saying it publicly just to put pressure on them. Okay, so the creatives are all going, oh no. So we're just putting a bit of pressure on them. And then yesterday, we had the coronation of a king. And, you know, some people are very pro the monarchy, some people are not. All I know is what the Bible tells us to do. And the Bible says you should pray for kings. Okay, so we're going to pray. Is that all right? We're going to pray for the new king. So why don't you stand? And if you want, you can lift your hands, whatever, but we're going to pray as God's people. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our queen who reigned for 70-something years in such an incredible way, loving you. And now we pray for her son, Charles. Lord, we pray that he would be a good king. Lord, we pray that you would anoint him to walk in your ways. We pray for men and women of wisdom to give him counsel. Lord, we pray that he would listen and love your word. So, Lord, we pray for King Charles III that this would be a good reign. Lord, we pray that you would fill him with your goodness and that Charles would come to know you just as his mother did. So, Lord, we lift him before you. We lift his court. We lift his government. And, Lord, we pray for them all as they lead this country. But our biggest prayer, Lord, the prayer that's really on our heart is that under the reign of King Charles III, the greatest revival would hit this nation that we have ever seen. And that's what he would be known for. So, Lord, we pray for this country and nation that you would pour out your spirit, bring back the lost, and change our land, that a nation would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. I love it when we run over time a little bit. And I'm going to shorten what I've got to say, but we might just run over a little bit. We've been looking at some Bible heroes. And today I want to look at a lady in the Bible called Deborah. We're moving from the book of Joshua into the book of Judges. And sometimes we wonder, why do we have trials and battles? You know, why God? Why don't you just kind of push it all aside? And Judges 3 says that we have these battles so that we would know war and the Lord would know us. That we would know war and the Lord would know us. What's he saying? Through battles, it's the battles we learn to trust the Lord. It's through battles that the Lord sees our hearts. You know, Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So he's promising you, there will be difficulties, there will be battles, but I have overcome. Paul says this, he says, we glory in our sufferings. When was the last time you gloried when you were suffering? And I'm like, Lord, take it away. And he's going, no, we glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not push us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts. This is what we were talking about, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's Romans 5. Look, what I want you to know is nobody ever learned anything sitting in a deck chair. No one, none of you will ever learn, if the sun ever comes out, and it will. But if it does, and you're in your deck chair by the beach, no one ever learned anything there. We learn the lessons and how to walk with the Lord in the battles. So I want to look at the story of Deborah. Sometimes people are worried a bit about women in leadership. Okay, you know, should women be allowed to lead in the church? Well, all I can say is Deborah is one of the greatest judges. She's a wife, a prophet, at a time when men are too fearful or unwilling to go to battle. And Israel would have been in stuck if there wasn't a woman to lead at this time. So, as I said, she's a prophetess, a wife who holds court, a bit like Moses would under the palm of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel. People would bring their requests, disputes, and she would rule and help them. And sometimes people ask me, well, how do you become a leader? Well, it's easy. You spend time with people and give them counsel that actually helps them. If you're with people and you're giving them counsel that helps them, they will follow. And I'm very thankful for the wise men and women in my life that have spoken wisdom in my life because it was easy to follow. You only need to be one step ahead. Now, what has happened is the Israelites have turned from the Lord now that Ehud, if that's how you pronounce his name, it's how I'm going to, was dead. He's the last judge. We've skipped over him. Jabin is king of Cana with a commander called Sisera, who is cruelly oppressing the Israelites because he has chariots of iron. So they're outgunned, if you like. And they cry to the Lord for help. Now, if you read Judges, Kings, and Chronicles, you're going to see a pattern that God rescues his people. They have a time of peace. They settle into his goodness, forget that he was the rescuer, turn away from him, and then they find themselves into sin. They're invaded and oppressed. They cry out to the Lord. The Lord hears their cry and sends a deliverer. That's what he did in Jesus. He sends the Messiah to come and rescue us from our sin. So enter Deborah, who summons Barak. And again, I'd love us to do this. Do you know, there's just in the church at the moment, sometimes I just think that it's crept in a disrespect for the Word of God, in the sense of there's some doubting on parts of the Bible. This is God's Word. It's not my idea. It's not your idea, it's God's word. So as I was talking to the Lord about it, the Lord said, well, the way you get respect is you show respect. So I'm going to read some of the Bible. Would you stand? I don't need you to stand when I'm speaking, all right? But when he's speaking, we stand. Okay, Judges chapter 4. I'm going to start from verse 4. If the Bible doesn't keep up with it on the screen, that's because I told them verse 6. Now, Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the river Kishon and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah, "but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went back with Barak to Kadesh. And we're going to keep reading, so just stay standing a moment. Look, God wants men to be men. And I'm not talking about hairy and smelly. Okay, I'm talking about men that understand the call on their life and that will obey what the Lord says. The Lord has commanded. Okay, but Barak is not sure. Okay, let's jump to verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Herodesh, I can't even say that one, and all of Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazar, and the family of Heber the Kenite. All these names. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, if we've got teenagers here, this is a great story. "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes and asks you, is anyone there? Say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he fell fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground and he died. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. Take a seat. I love the Bible. These are the stories we should be telling our young men and women. Women, you can do anything. You just shouldn't have to do everything, because that we're made different to complement each other. And when one or the other doesn't arise to a certain job, it doesn't work, but the other can take the baton, or in this case, a tent peg. You see, it's not can you do something? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? It's the call on your life. What have you been called to do? What is God calling you to do? Deborah knew. So first, really fast, God calls all types of people. I don't know about you, but I have a picture of who God uses. You know, the young, intelligent, good-looking, outward-going, somebody everyone wants to be around. You know, a bit like me, okay? I don't know what you're laughing at. But God will use anyone who answers the call, who has ears to hear and eyes to see. What do I mean? Well, Ehud, he's the last judge who's we've jumped over his story, but he delivers Israel from the king of Moab, and he's described as a left-hander. Okay, so grace to left-handers, but he would have been seen as odd. But his left-handedness gave him an advantage, so he could drive his sword into the king of Moab, and he gives Israel 80 years of peace. Deborah, the posh ones amongst you will say Deborah, but I come from Essex, so Deborah was a prophetess and wife. Deborah is, and she's the lead character here, not Labidoth, her husband. And again, too many people believe the story that God can't use us because I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not married, I am married, I'm not skinny enough, I'm too fat, I don't have children, you know, all of these things. God doesn't disqualify us. He calls us into his service. So stop defining yourself by what you should be. You are defined by he who is in you. He defines you, okay? So Ehud was a left-handed judge of Israel because he rose to the call. He heard the voice of God and did what God said. Deborah, a prophet, a wife, a judge of Israel, because she was willing to believe that God could use a woman to deliver Israel. Stephen, Juliet, Porky and Beautiful, bald and with hair flowing. Leader of Cromer Church. It's really important I get that round the right way. Because the Lord has said so. He gave us a call and we heard the call. Chris, playing drums today, but he often leads worship. Worship leader, gym designer, dating, so not available. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Dan, playing keys. International keys player, house builder, looking for a wife, anointed by God. Soraya, she was singing here. Singer, demander of shorter working hours. So, servant of Jesus Christ. You'd only get that if you were at revival prayer. Kadisha, she often plays bass. It was Ashley this morning. Bass player, fashion expert, wife, and gifted with hospitality. Woman of God. These are how God describes us. That's why it's so important to read how God describes Deborah. Because we need to start believing what he says. Now, number two, you might feel you're not the first choice. Loads of people suffer from not first choice syndrome. I bet there's a better way of saying that, okay? Do you remember being at school? I remember being at school. And I'm just sharing with you some wounds, okay? you know when it was sports and you've got the two captains choosing their team, and they're going, yeah, I want you, and I want you, and we're all standing, and slowly there's fewer and fewer people, and I'm there. Until they get to the last five or six people, they go, do you know what, we don't even care what team you're on, it won't make any difference whatsoever. That was me. I wasn't first choice, because I wasn't all sporty, like some of you are beautiful people. I know they all picked you first. But the trouble is, we think that's how God calls us and picks us. God is very different to this. He calls and expects us to respond to the call. Look, it's obvious that Barak should lead the army out, but he's scared to go out with Deborah. So he says, I'm only going if you go. And she says, well, because of the course you've taken, God is going to deliver Israel by a woman. Now, I bet he's assuming it's her, but we're going to find out it's not. And she will get the glory instead of you. Isn't it great that Deborah believed that women could lead? Few. But more importantly, she didn't see herself as second choice. She understood that whoever puts their trust in the Lord will see the deliverance of God. You see, the Lord calls and waits to see who will arise. It fascinates me. Whatever city you go into in the United Kingdom, believe that revival is going to start there. Doesn't matter where you go. Birmingham, London, Leicester, they all believe that revival is going to start there. Why? Well, God has sent prophets saying, I'm going to send revival. He's just waiting for someone to believe it. Do you know what's different about Leicester? We believe he's going to do it. We're saying yes. We're saying, okay, Lord, let's do this thing. We're not waiting for it to happen. We're in it because God is on the move. We heard the call. We heard the invitation. We said, do you remember Shrek? I'm like Donkey. Me, send me. I want to do this, Lord. Isaiah put it much better. He said, the Lord said, who shall I send? And he said, send me. Me, I'm more like Donkey, just jumping up and down. Lord, I'll do it. If this is you, I'll do it. Donkey always has more fun. And you know, I looked at the praise of the worship this morning, I thought, that's us. We're just like, Lord, anything you've got for us, we want. The Lord loves that. You see, Judges 5 in the Song of Deborah, then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up, break out in song. Arise, Barak, take captives, your captive son of Barak's dad. You see, wake. It's waking up to the call of God on our lives and going, I'll do it. I was a young man, I was just been saved. God had turned around my life incredibly. I didn't come from a Christian background. I was in the Methodist church, and so they sent me around preaching in churches. Like I was like 17, 18, and they were 80. And so there was a big age gap, and they put me in these big pulpits, and I'd just yell at them. And I'd just say, you need Jesus in your life, because he's got to be on this. What's this guy doing? And anyway, as I'm going around all these churches preaching, they would send people around to assess me, and they would take notes. So I'm preaching through, and they'd take notes. And at the end of a period, I got a report back on me as a preacher in the Methodist church. You want to know what it said? It said, Steve is a very passionate young man, but not suitable for preaching in churches and would be far more suited down at the local pub. I was, the wound. I was devastated by that. Do you know where my first church was? In a pub. You see, what I want to tell you is sometimes that the curses of others can become the prophetic words of what God is going to do in your life. And that was my life. You see, what people mean for bad, God can mean for good. He works his goodness in our lives. Okay, we've got to move really quick. This enables us to face enemies of superior power. The Canaanites had chariots of iron. This is a picture of demonic superiority. And you can read all about it in the Book of Enoch. And some of you will scratch your back. Book of Enoch? There isn't a Book of Enoch. Yes, there is. It just isn't in the Bible, but the Bible quotes from it. A battle is not a battle unless we face an enemy of superior power. You know you can win in your own strength, it's not a battle. That's why David says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20. A battle is only a battle when it's hard to win. Battles always feel unwinnable. And that's what makes them a battle. But you know in this, when they go out to battle, and you need to read Deborah's song of praise, do you know their chariots were useless? You know why? It rains. The Lord sends rain. They just get stuck in the water. And Sisera has to jump off his mighty chariot and flee. And exhausted, he finds another lady, a housewife, who invites him in for a coffee. He falls asleep, and while he's asleep, she gets a tent peg and a hammer and drives it through his temple, and he's dead. Barak is passing by, trying to catch Sisera. This is what she says. Then Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. Come, she said, I'll show you the man you're looking for. So he went in, ready to be a man, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. A lesson I learned long ago, women are dangerous. Especially when the hand of the Lord is on them. Lots of people are prophetic. How do you recognize a prophet? What they say comes about. Deborah had told Barak who would deliver Sisera into his hands, a woman. Game, set, match. That's how God works. Jael has accomplished what an army of 10,000 could not. He sank at her feet. And this is what Jesus says, and this is where we're going to finish. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Paul says it this way, battles produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. What is the Lord looking for today? On that day, Deborah and Barak sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. What is God looking for? Princes, or to lead, or the literal translated isn't gender specific, leaders to lead. People who are willing to offer themselves into the service of God. He's looking for people to lead. He's looking for people to offer themselves in the service of God. He's looking for women with tent pegs because they are mightier than an army of chariots. And he says, when we have this, the Lord is praised. What's the story of Deborah all about? It shows us that God can deliver a nation using three people who rise to his call. A judge who worships under a tree, a soldier who wins a battle in a thunderstorm, and a woman with a mallet and a tent peg. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, will you put your trust in Jesus Christ? He will change your heart and show you how to overcome. That's why this message needs to be taught in pubs, not churches. Because they're the ones that need to hear. I'm done. Stand up. Come on. Okay. If you're here this morning, you have seen and probably felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. That as we praised, the glory of God came into the room. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, you probably felt a little bit of an outsider. And that's not because he doesn't love you. He loves you, but it's because you have never opened your life up, opened your heart up to receive him in. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. That's everything we have done wrong before and after we come to him. And he says, come to me. Anyone who invites me in, he says, we will come and make our home in them by the Holy Spirit and eat with you. It means he's going to come and stay. And that entering of our lives by the Holy Spirit is he is the transformer of our lives and the worker of miracles in our lives. And if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus and never said, would you come into my life? We're going to give you that opportunity now. Maybe you did many years ago and somebody's just bought you and you've been away from God. I'm not talking for 2 weeks. I'm talking about for years and you know you need to come home. If that's you this morning, come on down and we're going to pray. So if you know you need to give your life to Jesus, come on down and we're going to pray.